Welcome to this week's installment of Relatively New Flute Music Monday with Dr. Tammy Evans-Yons. I'm on faculty at Newberry College in Newberry, South Carolina, and the University of South Carolina, Aiken, in Aiken, South Carolina. And I'm usually guilty of having too many projects going on all at one time, which you can check out at my website, www.tammyevansyons.com. This week, we are looking at the performance overview of Albert Roussel's Jour de Flûte. If you missed last week's installment, you might want to take a minute to go back and make sure that you are familiar with the cast of characters involved with this work, which is what we took a look at last week. So jumping right into it, the first movement of this piece is entitled Pan. And so right away, the first note is without piano for one beat, and really the danger here is in being out of tune. So make sure that you tune really carefully with the piano beforehand, obviously, and then adjust if needed. So if you come in with that first note and the piano comes in and things are just not sounding like they're supposed to, definitely make some adjustments so that you are right in tune where you need to be once the piano enters on beat two. There are a lot of flourishes in this movement, and it's really important to make sure that they're even in both tone, so the tone color is consistent throughout the flourish, as well as the technique. So a lot of times we understand that the technique needs to be smooth and our fingers need to be moving in a coordinated fashion, but we don't always think about the tone color being the same, and as we know, it can vary in different parts of our register. So we need to make sure to look at that as well and really be on top of what kind of sound we want throughout all of those flourishes. Also make sure to use the slurs written in the music as well as the dynamics to help create the phrases. For example, in measure 3, the pickups leading to measure 4, the notes are a bit separated and have a crescendo under them which lead to the arrival at measure 4. So you're using both the dynamics that we have written there as well as the actual phrasing to help create those phrases. It's also really important to observe the various tempo markings in this movement. So the movement is sprinkled with très lent, moins lent, modérément animé, and so on. And so we have all of these indications of very slow and not quite as slow and moderate, and others that are telling us really specific indications of how that tempo should be. The end of the movement revisits the musical material that is presented at the beginning of the movement, and then the material in the middle is much more lively and features more faster-moving notes. Still, there's plenty of opportunity to play around with color and vibrato to give life to this movement, and that's really important to consider. Movement 2, Tétière, is quite a contrast to the first movement. Instead of seeing a lot of slurs, we see a lot of staccato markings, lots of staccato. Remember the meaning of the word staccato, which is detached. So you want to make sure that you're doing that, but not making the notes too short. So the danger in doing that is making them so very short that they're all articulation and really no tone. And remember that really we want tone to be beautiful all of the time, and we don't want the articulation to get in the way of that. So definitely separate those notes from each other, but don't do it at the expense of the tone. The dynamics in this movement are relatively straightforward. Crescendos are going to be over ascending lines for the most part, and decrescendos are over descending lines, so that all makes sense. And the dynamics are particularly important to help give the phrasing shape. So that's a really important consideration. As the notes ascend, we get louder, and as they descend, we get quieter. The middle section of this movement provides quite a contrast to the beginning and the end, and the slurs over these really long notes in the middle section should be strictly observed and used to really maximize the contrast between the two different sections that we have in this particular movement. And one more thing to consider with this work is tempo. So Roussel gives a very clear tempo indication at the beginning of the movement, and your metronome is going to be your friend in this case. We all know how easy it is to speed up and slow down as the music is simple, or maybe just a little bit harder. So there are absolutely no tempo markings in this movement to suggest that we should change the tempo whatsoever. As opposed to the previous movement, which gives really clear indications that we should be altering the tempo at various places. So I think we should take that to mean that Roussel wants a very steady tempo throughout the entire movement. Movement 3 is Krishna, which is really interesting. The time signature in this is 7/8. And digging around, doing a little bit of research, I've read that this is based on an Indian mode. So the notes that Roussel uses in this movement might sound a little bit foreign to your ears if you're mainly used to hearing major and minor all the time. This movement features really long phrases, so plan the breathing accordingly. And when I play this movement, I'm always painfully aware of how many C-sharps they are. And we know as flutists that C-sharp is not always the best note for our particular instrument, and so you have to make sure that these are really in tune. And not just in tune, but that the tone color of this note, whenever it shows up, matches the notes around it. The dynamic markings in this movement seem to be a bit more abrupt than in earlier movements. Make sure that you're keeping a really flexible embouchure and planning your breathing really carefully to navigate these quick changes. The middle section of this movement is marked faster than the beginning, and right away we have low A flat being repeated many times at this faster tempo. It's very easy for these notes to sound squished together, and remember that it sounds different on your side of the music stand than it does to your audience. So you really have to put a little bit more space between these notes than you might think that you need to put, just because to you it sounds detached, but to your audience it's going to blend in just a little bit more and sound, those notes are going to sound a little bit longer. So to make sure that your music reaches the audience the way that you want it to, you need to put just a little hair of a space more than you normally would between those low notes. The key change at measure 28 sounds particularly glorious in this movement. We've moved into a higher register, we have this key change happening, we have a forte dynamic level. So don't really hold back too much in this case. Crescendo through those repeated staccato notes in measures 33 and 34, and then again at measures 39 and 40, just because you want those notes, because they are repeated and they are staccato and sort of the same, you want to make sure that there's something giving it some vitality throughout that section. And then as we move into the end of the movement, which recalls the musical material of the beginning of the movement, we again see some C-sharps. So just make sure that you're showing them a little bit of extra love so that the tone color matches the tone color of the notes that surround those C-sharps, and that the tone is really beautiful, and again, obviously, always, that it's in tune. The end of this movement really dies away. We have a couple of markings. One is molto rallentando, and the other is diminuendo poco a poco, so getting quieter as we go along. And really, I make those pretty dramatic, and I slow down quite a bit and sustain that last note, that very last note, until it just absolutely dies away. So as the piano sort of decays, I'm trying to make my sound decay at sort of the same rate so we end together, but still holding it out for a really dramatically long time. Movement 4, Mon Jour de la Pigeardie. I'm not really one for stories, but I always think of a man in a fedora hat, swinging a cane, and taking a stroll through a park when I hear this movement. It's just an easy-sounding piece. It's really laid back, it's really fun, and it really might have the most dramatic dynamics of all of the movements in this work, but they really do add a lot of character, so make sure that you can be really flexible and show a lot of contrast when those dynamics are called for. To me, managing the dynamics, the frequent accents that you find in this movement, and the occasional doodly stuff, again, doodly stuff being my oh-so scholarly term for little technical flourish, these things are really essential in pulling the short movement off. Tone color is also going to be really important, especially in sustained pitches that we have in the middle of the movement. It's easy just to kind of sit on those and have them be a bit boring, but if you're playing around with the tone color and the vibrato, then that's really going to give a lot of life and interest to those sustained pitches. The very last note of the movement should be a harmonic, so make sure that you don't overlook that particular indication. And again, tone color it's really interesting to end the piece with the harmonic because of the particular sound that we get from that. So again, not just the notes themselves, but the color with which those notes are played is really what's going to make the entire piece something that's really remarkable, really unforgettable, and interesting to listen to. It's a really solid piece. I always get a good reception from the audience when I play this one. It's really accessible, really nice. It's approximately 10 minutes long. It's published by several different publishers. The version that I have is the Brockmans and Van Poppel edition, and that's what I was working from today. According to Flute World, they have this rated at a level 3, which is moderately difficult, suitable for high school students and early college, but really a very accessible piece for the performer as well as the audience. Thanks so much for listening today. I'd love to hear from you with any questions or comments that you may have, or if there are any specific, relatively new flute works that you would like to know more about. Please don't hesitate to contact me through my website, which again is www.tammyevansyantz.com.